It's 27 minutes to 11 o'clock. You are listening to The Morning Review. My name is Lester Kivett, and I really appreciate you being part with us here this morning on the show. The lines are always open, 021-446-0567. You can also drop me a message, a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Now, yesterday on the show, we had on the Department of Labor, Makosonke Buthelezi, the spokesperson for the UIF Directorate of the department, talking about the reintroduction of TERS payments for people affected by level 4 lockdown. Couldn't answer detailed questions. He's a spokesperson, not necessarily a bureaucrat with technical knowledge, also unable to ask very, very specific questions relating to people's specific circumstances. But what we did hear from him is that between 400 and 500,000 payments are still outstanding when it comes to the TERS program. Out of just a call center number, it's very, very difficult for people to talk to a living, breathing person just to hear what is the update with their particular circumstance, whether it be UIF payments or whether it be a TERS payment, which was supposed to be made. There have been some changes, though. From now, TERS payments will be made directly into people's bank accounts and not through their companies. But we're taking your questions today with Lauren Salt. She is an executive in the Department of Employment at ENS Africa. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Review. You've helped quite a bit of people in terms of trying. You were at their wits' end saying that we've been unemployed for so long, waiting for payments, trying to get through this bottleneck, and Makosonke Buthelezi, to his credit, did admit there is this bottleneck of between 400 and 500,000 payments when it comes to UIF. How are you doing this morning?
Lester, thank you so much for having me. I'm well, thank you.
What's been some of the more common complaints when people... Look, first we have to categorize the difference between UIF, unemployment insurance, and the TERS payments, which is the Temporary Employment Relief Scheme, which was introduced because to help assist people through various lockdowns and the industries that may be affected by whatever level of lockdown. Just for clarification for people, the difference between UIF and TERS payments.
So TERS payments is directly linked to the ramifications for employers and employees alike as a result of the lockdown restrictions. So at various levels, there have been various restrictions placed on businesses which have resulted in prejudice to employees, meaning that they haven't been paid any or their full remuneration, and that is the basis upon which the TERS was introduced. The UIF, as you know, has long existed and has various types of benefits for employees, including in relation to illness benefits, maternity benefits, and they have the reduced work time benefit. Now, the reduced work time benefit is something that we have seen an uptake on, where employers are not entitled to the TERS benefit and employees are working reduced hours for reduced remuneration. So that is something that also has relevance during this period.
Plenty of specific questions that people have in particular circumstances. Already a question here that's come in. What do I do if the money that was paid into my employer's account, and that's what happened during the TERS payment scheme, money was paid into employer's accounts, but this person saying that he refuses to pay it to us, the employee. I've tried to write to the acting UIF CEO, but I have not had any help. How can people try and get money that has already been paid by the Department of Labor and TERS schemes into employees' accounts, but they're unable to access that?
Okay, so there are some people who are claiming that the TERS hasn't been paid over to them. So the first distinction is whether or not the employer advanced money to the employees. So a lot of employers have said to employees, we are applying for the TERS, but in the interim, we will pay you a sum of money, and we will recoup that once we have received the TERS benefit. So that would be a legitimate withholding of the TERS benefit. What seems to have happened here in respect of this individual is that the money was not advanced and not then paid over, and the employee expects this. Now, we've seen a number of employers do this. It appears that quite a few unscrupulous employers think that the TERS money is there for the taking for themselves and not the employees. And we have seen a number of complaints go to the Department of Labor, which is what I would recommend employees do in this instance. And what we're seeing is labor inspectors either presenting themselves at the employer or contacting the employer by email to inquire what has happened. But obviously, you know, there is an influx of these sorts of complaints to the department, so it may not be that they are readily being dealt with because of the backlog of complaints of this nature. So I would recommend just following up on the claim and seeing whether or not you can get the attention of a labour inspector.
We're speaking to Lauren Salt. Reminder, Lauren does not work for the Department of Labour. She is a consultant. She works at a legal firm that has been helping people try and get their own back, assisting them with getting TERS payments and UIF payments. She's graciously agreed to come on air with us and answer some of the very specific questions you have. Sometimes it's not so difficult. Without reference numbers and your own specific set of circumstances, it would be very difficult. But she has agreed to answer some of the very, very broad questions that people have after us having a seemingly unsatisfactory interview with the Department of Labor yesterday. But Christina in Kales River, you have called. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lester. I'm good, thank you. Lester, this is in connection with the UIF, and I'm calling on behalf of my husband, Henry. He applied and it was successful, but he only received payments for 4 months, and that was from January in this year until April. And then it stopped. But after numerous phone calls, okay, they're skeleton staff, so we understand, but and even emails, there was no response. And you know, he's been working for this company for 52 years and he's retired now. So we just want to know, who do we contact? Because we want to speak to a person, like you said, a living, breathing person.
Yeah, that's all that people
just know. We just want to know what to do and who to contact.
When was his first UIF payment, and when was the last one he received?
That was the first one in January this year, and then the last one in April.
Okay, so the first 4 months of the year.
Pardon?
And then so he only received UIF payments for the first half of the first 4 months of the year.
That was for 4 months.
Okay, Lauren is listening, and I'll keep you on the line, Christina. But is this a common occurrence, Lauren, with some of the cases that you're seeing?
Well, yes, because for instance, that is the claim period that was open for claims until now. There's only now been an extension of the TERS from the 16th of March to the 25th of July. So when Henry received that payment, he was only entitled to claim from December to the middle of March. So
from what I understand, this is UIF payments.
UIF payments, not TERS payments.
No, you only received 4 UIF payments.
Well, unfortunately, Henry will have to persist with calling the UIF. There's not much more that you can do other than follow up with the call center. You know, it could be that they required additional information for further months. So I would definitely persist with calling the UIF. We have found that persistence is key, and eventually someone will assist you. It just might not be particularly quickly.
In terms of what documents do you need to have on hand to particularly pursue this? Getting your money and getting your own back is as much, you know, almost a full-time job on its own, it seems, Lauren, with you having to keep up to date with receipts and reference numbers and all the documents that you need.
Yeah, so it's quite easy with the UIF U filing system and with the TERS platform because it's all obviously contained on there. Obviously, you will need proof of the information that you put into these forms. For instance, the TERS application form or the Excel spreadsheet that you're required to fill in requires 20 items of information. So in respect of that, for instance, there could be an issue where you haven't, in fact, put in the correct account details. And if, for instance, the UIF comes knocking on your door to say, we've received a complaint from an employee, I would recommend that employers have on file the proof of the information that was provided so they can provide it to inspectors. But it's very important to have the supporting documentation, particularly in respect of the TERS when you're claiming that you've had a shutdown period. We're seeing a lot of TERS audits at the moment where people have claimed TERS and have claimed TERS unlawfully and were not in fact closed when they said that they were. So supporting documents are extremely important, and whatever information you have inserted either in the TERS form or in the UIF form, we would recommend having proof of the information that you put in.
A lot of people complaining, Lauren, that they've made claims. And the company received the claims and they receive those TERS benefits, but the company goes belly up. The company gets liquidated. It gets liquidated along with the money that has been sent from the TERS scheme. Employers then become creditors. They then become, they then have to go look for their money essentially. What is the easiest way if you work for a company that has been liquidated and you and the Department of Labor has said, we've already sent the money, it's there with the company that's now been liquidated? How do you, what's your first action of recourse there?
Well, you'll need to look out at the notice to the creditors that you'll receive from the liquidators and make sure that you attend those creditors' meetings in order to put forward your claim to the liquidator. Unfortunately, there's no easier way than that. The department isn't going to double pay anyone in circumstances where there has been a liquidation. I would suggest staying as close as possible to the liquidation process to ensure that you get any money out.
Here's another question here. If the employer lends money to staff over lockdown, can they keep the TERS money to reclaim the loan, asks this message.
Yes, that is correct. So it is specifically provided for in the memorandum of agreement that employers or the bargaining council enters into with the UIF at the commencement of the TERS claim. Hmm. And it says that employers must pay over the money unless they have advanced the money to the employees. And that is, you know, the advancement is also a loan. So we're saying, as employers, we are paying this to you because we're applying for the TERS. When we receive the TERS money, we'll retain the money. Obviously, employers aren't entitled to keep more than the amount that was loaned, but they are entitled to keep it to set it off.
We are taking your calls. We're taking your questions. We are speaking to Lauren Salt. She is an executive in the employment department at ENS Africa, taking your questions regarding TERS and UIF payments. From this week, the Department of Labor have reopened applications to TERS payments, especially if you work in an industry affected by level 4 of lockdown, but also so many people waiting for UIF payments, some of them as long as last year. In terms of what do we know of the bottlenecks, Lauren, when it comes to the outstanding payments, Makosonke Buthelezi admitting that simply because of the sheer volume of applications, whether it comes to TERS or UIF, that they are simply struggling to get through all these applications.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is occasioned by incorrect information being input into the system. You know, we don't have someone sitting there physically going through the applications. It's a very advanced system that the UIF has and a very rigid system. So we have seen a number of issues where employers have received errors on their CSV file, not knowing what the issue was and being unable to resolve the issue. And things to look out for there are ID numbers. So you must have a 13-digit ID number. Sometimes these Excel spreadsheets insert, depending on what Excel spreadsheet you've set up, a 0.00 at the end of the ID number of the individual. And that will then kick out an error in the system and no money will be paid. And you know, it appears that where there are errors in the CSV files that employers have submitted, it doesn't necessarily pay out some but not others. It appears that in some instances, the entire CSV file is ticked out because of that. Now we're seeing a lot of employers having to go back in with the assistance of UIF officials to rectify those errors, and then the money is being paid out.
How long does the Department of Labor require us to keep employee records, says this person? Lauren?
It is 5 years, I believe, in the UI Act.
021-446-0567. Dennis calling in from Rondebosch. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, good, thank you.
Good, Lauren
Just
is listening.
Question. We had a situation with the organization that I work for. It's an NGO. We have a number of staff. And when we did our TERS application, because we were forced to close last year, we've successfully been paid for the people with South African identity numbers. But we have one employee who is an American citizen who works for us. And obviously the identity document we provided was her passport number. And we've still not been paid out for that. Here we are 15 months later.
Let me add that. Thanks so much for the call there, Dennis. Let me add this to a question that we received here. Regarding TERS, my foreign national employees have not received anything, but my local employees have. What's that about? All the paperwork is in order, and we used a consultant to help. That's a message from Graham in Sea Point, and maybe we can join those two questions with Graham and Dennis. Lauren?
Yes, those all fall in the same bucket, and there has been a lot of issues with claims for foreign nationals. Obviously, again, the system is very rigid, and where there is no 13-digit ID number, that kicks out an error. So in that respect, so there's two ways in which you can deal with this, and if you don't have any joy in respect of the first, you can try the second. The first is to do it through the call center. We have received a lot of success through using the call center with foreign nationals who are here legally, and they have been paid out the money. It does require a bit of interaction with the UIF just to explain that there have been declarations and contributions in respect of those people, remembering that you can only claim TERS for people who are registered with the UIF and who have been paying contributions over to the UIF. And if that doesn't render any joy, which it should, then you can escalate a dispute in terms of the Memorandum of Understanding.
021-446-0567. We have about 5 minutes left with consultant Lauren Salt. She's helped plenty of people navigate their way through the UIF TERS process. Let's go through a quick voice note. 072-567-1567.
Hi, just about UIF. I registered and it was confirmed, and when I went back into my account, the ID number was different. Mine starts with 58 and that one started with 62. Is it possible that somebody could have hacked into my account?
Is that possible, Lauren?
I can't say whether or not it's possible. I mean, anything's possible in the world of a hacker, but you know, it could just be the UIF system as well has a bit of a glitch. These things happen every now and then. I would recommend contacting the UIF and informing them that there was an error.
Another question about liquidations, companies, and TERS payments. Following a company liquidation, the company bank account is now unfrozen by the master of the court. The liquidated company bank is now withholding the TERS funds. The liquidator is begging the bank to release the TERS funds to him to pay former employees, but they are not doing so. What can be done, Lauren?
That's extremely tricky, and the liquidator is going to have to take action against the bank. I'm not quite sure of the full facts, and that would need to be explored, but my sense is that the liquidator might have to take formal legal action against the bank.
Judith in Edgemead asks, how can I check if my employer has been paid my TERS payment? When did he receive it? I am unemployed for the last 8 months since 2020 and received two payments in June 2021. And that goes back to what we started with. Companies that may have received payments but not informing the employee about that. There is an online platform where you can check and enter your ID number, isn't there, Lauren?
Yes, so there is. It may not be possible without the reference number that the company received. I would recommend phoning the UIF and indicating that you have been unemployed and you don't know whether your employer has received it, and then providing them with your ID number. This has to be done by yourself. The UIF won't entertain any calls on behalf of other people. So I would recommend doing that.
And that is the problem for many people. And having the wherewithal, having the ability, having the time, simply just having the energy to continually calling a UIF number, which many people told us yesterday, you know, hasn't been that responsive. Does the UIF, does the Department of Labor deal with people who would help, lawyers, consultants, or people essentially on their own trying to get whatever money they need to get from the department?
The UIF does entertain conversations and discussions with third parties. We have had a number of very fruitful conversations with the UIF and have assisted a number of clients in respect of their TERS issues. I know that there are other consultants who are doing similar things. When it comes to employees checking up on what their employer has done, often we find that that employee themselves needs to be present on the call, because I think there is a lot of fraud going on, and people trying to represent that they've changed their bank account numbers, etc. It's a bit of a mess. So I would recommend that even if someone is engaging the assistance of a consultant, that they personally are also on the call so they can verify the identity number and the information provided.
Bit of a mess is a bit of an understatement. But Bhavna, you'll be our last call here this morning. Bhavna and Komiki, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm very fine. Lauren is listening as well.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what's happening in my case. I'm a tour guide, and I applied, I'm not sure whether it was TERS, in 2020 to have the 350 Rand paid over. And months later, I got a reply saying I'm not eligible. I would understand if they said because you are self-employed, freelancing, and that's what I did. I freelanced with many companies, but they didn't say that. They said I'm not eligible because I am employed. Mm. I didn't understand that. And they said, if you got it wrong, please submit your documents again, which I did.
Because as a tour guide, you're self-employed, and when you can't work, you're essentially no longer employed.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm, I see your point. Lauren?
Just in respect of that, I mean, were the UIF contributions made on your behalf to the fund?
They were.
Please repeat that, Bhavna?
Yes, they were.
Then I would suggest escalating your complaint to the UIF. I mean, I would understand that if you hadn't made contributions, then that might be an issue. But I would suggest escalating it. You know, I understand that you probably have phoned the UIF. Perhaps it is where you have entered into the MOA with the department, then you can use the dispute resolution procedure set out in that and say that you in fact dispute that you're not a qualifying employee.
Lauren Salt, Executive in Employment at ENS Africa, thank you so much for joining us. I hope it answers some of your questions. Many people asking us, what's the number for the UIF? I did a quick Google, and the number that they suggest for the Unemployment Insurance Fund is 0800-030-007. That's 0800-030-007.